welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, I do want to encourage you to sponsor me as I run 4 half marathons in the course of October and November over the course of 4 weeks. Full details are available at heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. That's heavensgate.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of The Lineup. The original air date, April the 15th of 1952. And the title is Nancy's Nauseating Naivete Case.
By transcription, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city. For under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Seem to get enough sleep lately.
Yeah, I go through spells like that. I lie in bed, can't get to sleep, kick and toss, and smoke a dozen cigarettes.
Yeah. How many in the line?
23. Your witness is down the first row, right over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. See you later.
Yeah.
Miss Bradford?
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Been waiting long?
Oh, I just got here a few minutes ago.
Well, we've got the man. We just need an identification.
Yes, that's what the officer said. Officer over there.
Oh, Sergeant Quine.
Yes.
May I have your attention, please? You people on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Carter, Sergeant Pete Carter. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you see will be numbered. I call out the number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. Questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Okay, bring on the line. Okay, keep it moving. Right over here at the end of the stage. Turn and face front. Hands at your side. Now, when I call out your number, step out and talk up. It's a big room out there, and I want everybody to be able to hear you. Okay, number one, Steve Walcott, robbery. Stand up straight, Steve.
Okay.
Where do you live, Steve?
464 South Lake Street.
Is that a house, a hotel, or what?
House.
Who do you live with?
My brother.
Where do you work, Steve?
I ain't been.
For how long?
How long? I don't know. Over a year, I guess. At least over a year I ain't been.
How do you pay the rent?
I don't.
Your brother pays it?
He's working. Somebody's got a pet.
He own a car?
No.
Were you in a car when you were picked up?
Yeah.
Whose car was it?
Who? Friend's.
Who's the friend?
Who?
Yeah, who's the friend that owned the car?
Well, I guess I can't remember.
I guess you forget your friends pretty easy.
I guess so.
Any weapons?
Yeah.
What?
38.
Well, what kind? Automatic? Revolver?
A 38 revolver, Smith & Wesson.
Anyone arrested with you?
No, I was alone.
Step back.
Step back?
Back in the line.
Oh, okay.
Okay, number two. Putnam, assault. Where do you live, Jack?
299 West Adams.
That a house?
Yeah.
Who do you live with?
My wife.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Doesn't your mother-in-law live with you?
Not anymore. She's in the hospital.
What'd you hit her with?
A foot stool.
She's hurt pretty bad.
Well, I really just meant to scare her. See, she got the nagging again, and I threw the thing. She didn't even duck.
She has a pretty bad concussion.
Yeah, I figure we're even.
How do you figure?
20 years of nagging and giving me a nervous stomach. ulcers, insomnia, nearly breaking up my home a certain time.
Okay.
Turning some of my best friends against me, making me lose a job.
Okay, step back.
Nearly driving me into an institution. I figure we're even.
Step back.
Okay.
Number three, Harry Malinsky. Robbery.
That looks like the man.
Where you live, Harry? Park Lake Hotel. Where is that, Harry? 106th and Madison. Where do you work? Where do you work?
I don't know. I haven't had a job in a while.
Yes, that's him.
Any weapons?
That's the man who tried to hold me up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes.
32 automatic.
Sergeant Carger.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hold number three for interrogation. Malinsky.
You can save us all a lot of time.
Who is the guy driving the car?
What guy? Why don't you make it easy? I was alone.
You walked into the Brenner's grocery store and tried to stick it up.
Okay. There was a guy waiting in a black Mercury sedan.
I walked in. I wasn't in no black Mercury sedan.
The clerk identified you in the line.
I admit I walked into the store and tried to stick up.
The clerk says he saw you get out of the black Mercury.
He's crazy.
When the officer showed up, you ran for the car, and the guy driving pulled away before you could get to it.
I was just running. I didn't run for no car.
Even the officer says you did.
Look, maybe there was a car there. Maybe it was a black Mercury sedan, but I wasn't running for it.
Why hold out? The guy driving ran out on you. Why try and protect it?
Look, I tell you, I was alone, walking. I wasn't...
Three other robberies this week have identified that black sedan.
I'm telling you, I
was... Who was the driver?
I don't know.
We got a lot of time to find out.
All right, then find out. I don't know.
You were in that car when it drove up?
I was walking.
Where'd you walk from?
Huh?
You walked from someplace to that store?
Yeah.
Where?
I was on Lincoln.
What were you doing on Lincoln?
Walking. Just walking? Yeah.
Planning the stick-up?
Yeah.
Where were you before you started walking on Lincoln?
At home.
You live at 106th and Madison?
Yeah.
And where on Lincoln were you walking?
Where? What block? I don't know. I was just walking close to the store, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that would make it about the 1100 block.
Yeah, I guess.
You walked all the way from 106th and Madison to the 1100 block on Lincoln?
Well, not all the way.
What'd you do, take a streetcar?
Yeah, I took a streetcar.
What car?
What car?
That's right.
The Lincoln car.
From 106th and Madison?
No, I walked to Lincoln.
Why did you pick the Brenner's grocery store?
Well, I cased it. It's a good setup.
Come on, Malinsky.
I'm telling you.
You took the Lincoln streetcar.
Yeah.
You walked from 106th and Madison.
That's right.
What time was that?
What?
What time did you catch the Lincoln streetcar?
I don't know.
An hour before the stick-up?
I don't know. I don't remember exactly.
How long would you say it took you to get to 1100 Lincoln?
Look, what difference does it make?
Well, we just like to know. We're going to keep finding out things until you tell us who was in that black Mercury sedan with you.
What time did you get off at 1100 Lincoln, Malinsky?
Guthrie? Yeah? Where? 994 East Orange. Right. I'll take it.
Well, what's the matter?
The guy driving that black Mercury sedan just held up a gas station on East Orange. Shot the attendant.
So what do you want me to do about it?
Thomas was driving that car.
I don't know.
The attendant's pretty bad.
Well, I can't help it. I didn't blow him up. I didn't stick up the station.
You know who did?
No.
Okay, Malinsky. Let's go, Pete.
Hi, Ben.
How small?
They just hauled him away. He was in pretty bad shape.
Any witnesses?
The other attendant. He was across the street having dinner. He's in the station.
Did you get the license number?
No, a lot of people heard the shot, but nobody got the license number. Bill?
Yeah.
This is Bill Phillips, Ben.
Hello, Bill.
This is Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Cargan.
Hi.
How are you?
Tell us about it.
Everything you told me.
Well, there really isn't much. I was across the street in the diner. Right over there, the Dixie Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
Well, I finished and started for the station. I heard the shots and looked over and saw some guy jump into a black Merc sedan and drive away. I didn't get it at first.
Where was your partner?
Harv was stumbling out the door. That's when I got it through my thick skull that something had happened. I ran across and Harv was unconscious.
Yeah, this guy who jumped into the black Merc, what'd he look like?
I don't know. It happened so fast, and I wasn't sure anything was wrong at first. You know how fast things can happen.
Yeah.
Well, he was tall, I guess. Oh, I don't know. What's the use of trying to describe him when I can't? I'd like to be able to, but really I can't.
Nobody else saw it happen?
Asher's out trying to find somebody, but I don't think he's going to have much luck. There wasn't anybody else in the station, and this isn't a particularly crowded section.
What direction did the Merc go, Bill?
That way. West.
Okay. Come on, Pete. Let's go back and talk to Malinsky. Who was he, Malinsky?
I don't know. I don't know. How can I tell you when I don't know? Look, I told you I wasn't with nobody. I was alone. I walked to Lincoln, I caught a streetcar...
Lincoln from 106th Street?
Yeah.
You might get off with a lighter sentence if we knew who drove you to that store.
Look, I told you I took the streetcar
from Madison.
Yeah.
Madison runs parallel with Lincoln.
I mean from 106th Street.
If we pick that guy up and he says you were with him in that car, we'll nail you for withholding evidence.
Are you kidding?
How long did you walk on Lincoln?
How long
did you walk on Lincoln before you tried to stick up the grocery store?
I don't know. Maybe a half hour. I don't know. I don't remember.
You just walked?
Yeah, I walked, I told you.
Which way?
I don't know. I was getting ready to pull the stick up. How do I know which way?
And you took the streetcar?
Yeah.
Guthrie? Yeah? Oh. Okay. Malinsky?
Yeah?
That guy, your friend in the black Merc shop.
I told you. I don't know nobody in a black Merc.
The guy he shot in the gas station just died.
Better tell us.
Okay.
Who is he?
His name's Walker. Stan Walker.
Walker's in number 10, manager in 4.
Ten must be on the next floor.
Yeah.
Go up and cover the hall.
All right.
Yeah?
Are you the manager?
Yeah.
Police.
Okay, what do you want?
I'm Lieutenant Guthrie.
Okay, what do you want?
Your name, if you don't mind.
Hush.
You have a tenant here?
Which one?
Stan Walker.
Number 10. What's he done?
We just like to talk to him.
Number 10. Now, don't make a lot of noise. Mr. Simpson and 9 work tonight.
Well, I'd like the key, please.
I can't do that.
I have a warrant.
Why don't you just go up and talk to him if he ain't done nothing serious?
No, I'd just like you to cooperate.
Look, mister, the last time you cops was here, you hauled some guy out and there was a lot of trouble. My tenant...
We'll try not to make any trouble.
Well, if Walker ain't done nothing serious...
Mrs. Hirsch, do you want us to break down the door?
You can knock, can't you?
Mrs. Hirsch, I...
Well, who's this?
Sergeant Quine.
No car in the garage, ma'am.
Oh, you're looking for Mr. Walker's car?
Yes, and we'd like to go upstairs and see if Walker's in his room.
Okay.
And we'd like the key.
Okay. But Pete, they try to keep it as quiet as possible.
We'll try.
She give you trouble?
Doesn't like cops. Seems the last time the law was here, a tenant's complained.
Asher staked out in the garage.
Yeah.
This one's for number 10.
Thanks. May I suggest you stay in your room?
You don't have to suggest nothing.
Charlie,
You better stay down here and cover the front door.
Right.
I went down, listened to 10. Couldn't hear anything.
Well, let's go in and take a look.
Some guy snoring up a storm at 9.
Mr. Simpson works nights. And get over on the other side.
I don't think he's in there.
Yeah, let's find out. Clear. And get that room. Kitchen.
Doesn't even look like he spent the night.
No. Well, we'll see what we can find. Let's see, start in here.
And if we don't find anything?
Then we go check with that blonde Malinsky told us about.
Nancy Shelton?
Yeah. The Walker was seeing her as much as Malinsky said. She might know where we can find him.
Hey.
What?
I just noticed. Guy in number 9 quit snoring.
Probably rolled over on his stomach.
Small.
Well, he should be.
Oh, there he is.
Hi, Ben.
Girl in the room?
There's a girl in the room, all right, but it isn't Walker's girl. It's a roommate.
Well, where's Nancy Shelton?
Desk clerk said she went out about an hour before I got here. Doesn't own a car, takes taxis.
Mm. And what's her roommate's name?
Bernice Eddington. I saw her when she came down to get a paper. A pretty girl.
You haven't talked to her?
I said good morning.
He'd have to do that.
And quite an asher over at Walker's.
Wasn't there?
Uh-uh. They got a call here if Walker shows.
I'll let you know.
And what's the room?
104, second one at the head of the hall.
Okay. Bernice?
Yeah, Eddington.
Yes?
Miss Eddington?
That's right.
Now, we're the police.
Police?
I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Cargan.
How do you do?
Police?
And we'd like to talk to you, please.
What? I was just getting ready to go out.
Meeting Nancy Shelton?
Nancy? I know she went out early this morning.
Do you mind if we come in?
All right. What's the matter? Nancy in trouble?
Where'd she go so early this morning?
I don't know. I was asleep. I woke up just as she was leaving. What's wrong? What did she do?
You know Stan Walker.
Stan Walker?
Yes. Do you know him?
I knew it.
What?
Stan got himself in trouble. I knew it.
How did you know it?
He's no good. I never did like him. I told Nancy she shouldn't ought to go running around with him because he's no good.
Could Nancy have gone out to meet him this morning?
I don't know. I guess she could. Oh, look, Nan's a nice kid. If Stan did something, she didn't have nothing to do with it.
How long has she known Walker?
I guess about 6 or 7 months. I didn't like him when he first came here.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Harry Malinsky?
Malinsky. Is he a friend of Stan's?
Yeah.
Short? Dark, kind of mean-looking?
That's right.
I met him. He's been up here a couple of times. Nan tried to fix me up with a date, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go out with no friends of Stan's. I just never liked Stan from the beginning. And I didn't want to go out with nobody who was a friend of his.
Nancy didn't say where she was going?
No, honest. What's Stan done?
He's in a lot of trouble.
I know it. Look, fellas, Nan's really a great girl. I've lived with her for... Maybe that's her now. Now, look.
You better answer.
Yeah, all right. Yes?
Lieutenant?
Yeah, what's up, Small?
A blonde girl just drove up to Walker's apartment in a black Merc. She went up to Walker's apartment, had a key, and took out some of his clothes. Quine and Asher are tailing her.
Oh, gosh, I told her to stay away from him. I told her.
She should have listened. Shop.
It's pretty crowded in there.
Yeah, well, Asher's in there with him. She packed a suitcase and met him here. He's got on dark glass. No idea what train he's taking? I hate to take him in the middle of all this crowd.
Oh, we can do it fast. four of us. I don't think he'll try to use his gun.
You and I should stay behind us. And when we do it, step in and get the girl.
Right. Oh, hold it. There they are.
Heading for the trains. There's Asher.
Yeah, might be just as well. Pick him up on the train, away from all this crowd. All right, don't stick together.
Follow him right on the train?
Yeah.
So your ticket, please.
The westbound train.
No one has to.
I wonder if she's going with him.
Hasn't got a suitcase.
Hmm. Well, come on.
514, bedroom B, ramp A. Thank you. Next.
Excuse me, let us through.
Wait a minute, you'll have to show
police.
You.
Police.
Oh.
Let's go.
There they are, Ben.
Hold it. Yeah, they're getting on.
Where are they?
They just got on that next car. We'll get on and you two cover.
Well, one of us better go on the other side of the train.
Okay, go ahead, bud.
How do you want to do it?
There's a coach, so it's still going to be tough. There are many people in there. You take the girl.
Right. There he is.
Yeah, he spotted us.
Dan, what's wrong?
Take the girl.
What's wrong? Let me go. Let me alone.
Asher, he's running up that way. He's out in the yard.
You see him?
There's Asher. Go toward the tower, Asher.
He might be behind that line of cars.
All right, take that end, right? There he is, Ben. Walker! Stop!
You stay here, Quine. I'll go over and put in a call.
Ben! Yeah, here's the girl.
All right, bring her along.
What happened?
I'm afraid Stan's dead.
Look, I just got his clothes. I didn't know he was in trouble.
Didn't you?
No, honest. He just told me to pick up his clothes and meet him here at the station.
Why didn't he pick them up?
I don't know. Honest, he said he was in a hurry and he couldn't.
How'd you get his car?
He gave it to me.
But he couldn't get his own clothes.
Okay, so I knew he was in some kind of trouble, but I didn't know it was this serious. I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Miss, one of the things that makes our job tough is people like you.
Tickets, please. Please show
I'll go to jail.
Car 104, ramp A. Thank you.
Let us through, please.
Come on through. Is everything all right?
Yeah. Miss, did Walker buy his ticket under his right name?
Mm-mm. William.
Uh-huh. And there's a reservation that's not going to be used, Coach 403.
And the name?
Williams.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site. We stream live OTR Westerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, along with putting out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Well, some of this sounded a little bit familiar, but whether I'd played this case before or whether I just listened for quite a bit longer on when I was listening to the new episodes, I don't quite know. I will say that I did find that whole interrogation scene with the walking or taking the trolley to be really a well-done example of that sort of scene. Of course, it's with the lineup, it can be hard to tell since the lineup did tend to reuse some of its scripts, which does segue a little bit into a question we received by email from Chief B, who says, I was recently listening to an old-time radio episode, and the title, Death by Adoption, sounded familiar. The broadcast I was listening to was an episode of Mr. District Attorney, I believe. As I listened, I became certain that this was the same plot line that had been used on an episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers. The character names and the locations had been changed, but the script was 93% identical. Was this a common practice? I would say yes, it was. It's important when we think about radio programs from the 1940s and 50s to consider that for most people, radio programs were on and were done in a single play. There was no one who kept track of continuity. There weren't people who listened to the same episodes over and over again. And people, I think, also had a much more limited time for entertainment. And this created opportunities for writers. Most radio programs, particularly the dramatic programs, were so often all-year affairs. While the great comedy names like Bob Hope, Fred Allen, and Abbott and Costello could take a summer off, it was a lot harder for dramatic actors. In fact, what actually impelled Jack Webb to write and create Dragnet was that he needed something to do during the summer when ABC announced that they were going to put Pat Novak for Hire on hold. So many dramatic programs kept going all year long, which meant they needed 52 scripts. And even if you took off a little time for the summer, you'd still need 39 to 44 scripts, which is a lot of scripts. Most modern TV shows in the United States have between 22 and 26 episodes, and some are shorter. Monk was, for example, a 16-episode per season affair. And it's even shorter seasons when you get into programs for the BBC. So this required an incredible number of scripts. And there were many writers who might write a script, say, for Mr. District Attorney, and turn around and rewrite it when they found out there was an opportunity to do something on Tales of the Texas Rangers. And of course, it should be said that there were also a lot of very standard plots that people thought were pretty clever. One example of this is the Sandhog plot, which involves our hero going to investigate strange goings on at a dig where sandhogs are at work. And of course, when you were going down and up, it was important that you had time to get properly pressurized. If things weren't done precisely so, you could get the bends and pass out or even die. And there are a number of programs that use a similar plot. Not necessarily all with the same writers, but the same inspiration hit multiple people, and that was often... but you also, you do have the people who just rewrote scripts. Ejack Newman did that quite a bit. He took scripts for Jeff Regan and just changed a few details, and voila, we have a post for or a script for Rocky Jordan over in Cairo, Egypt. And of course, you have script reuse, where a program won't rerun an old program necessarily. That didn't tend to happen until you get into the 1950s. But they would reperform the entire script, which would be another way to save costs as well as the writer's creative energy. So yeah, script reuse, very common for a lot of reasons. But thanks so much for the question. Definitely appreciate it. All right, join us back here tomorrow for Richard Diamond, and next Tuesday, another episode of The Lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.